Well, good morning. Thank you so much for being here. So encouraging to have someone to talk to. And I'm not going to lie to you, I am super excited about the ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning. So, fortunately for you, I've got a little bit going on with my voice, so I may have to stop and breathe on occasion, at which point Mike will give you the microphone if you want it. But just be warned, I may just start rolling through things this morning. And so if something catches your attention and you think we need to know about it, talk about it further, don't hesitate to jump up and down and wave both arms at me to slow me down so that I see that you have a question or a comment, okay? I want to hear from you if you have something to say. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to study your word this morning. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you would make yourself known and clear to us this morning for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Freedom is a state of exemption from the power or control of another. Exemption from the power or control of another. And that's kind of the theme that I've chosen to focus on this morning as we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Tim. Last week, we looked at the mission of the Holy Spirit, and we saw how He regenerates us and how He seals us and brings us to life. There you see at the top of the handout, if you have it, Michael Reeves' quote, page 123, "As the Father gives out life and being to the Son, as the Father and the Son breathe out the Spirit breathes out life into the world." And so just thinking about the contrast, the freedom from death to life brought to mind the 2 Corinthians verse, chapter 3, 7, and 8. Now, if the ministry of death carved in letters of stone, how would you like that to be the description of your ministry? God has given you the ministry of death, okay? Go forth and prosper. Anyway, we're talking about the law. Now, if the ministry of the death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? So, the ministry in the Old Testament caused people to glow. Now, he's saying, what do you think the ministry of the Spirit in the New Covenant is going to have? What kind of impact is it going to have on you? What kind of capability is it going to give you? What kind of light are people going to see in you as the Spirit of the living God is in you and living out through you? Exciting. Again, following chapter 3, 16 to 18. "But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Okay, this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that starts with freedom from death to life. And we're just going to roll through several freedoms from and to that the Holy Spirit ministers to us in this life, this side of heaven. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, contrasting Moses, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So those particular verses talking about progressive sanctification, how you and I in normal progress throughout this life become more and more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, it's a lifelong process. You need to be patient with me. I'm probably not excelling as fast as you think I ought to. But the first one I want to point out here is freedom from chattel to child. Slavery to sin was our old existence, right? And we used to be a slave outside of the family. And now, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, He has brought us in to be a child of God. Romans 8, 16 to 17. "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ." So that is a huge ministry that the Spirit within you is telling you, hey, when you wake up. You're a child of God. Why? Because you're tempted to look in the mirror and think, oh, I'm in trouble. Just look at me. I know who I am. I know what I think. I know what I do. I know what I'm capable of. And then all these fears and these doubts approach you. But the Spirit of God is there to testify to say, no, you are a child of the living God. What you want to talk about writing a book on self-esteem or self-worth, that fact alone that the Spirit ministers to you every waking hour to say, you, my friend, are a child of God, that is a treasure. And then I try to make a logical sequence here by saying, then childhood leads to the next thing, freedom from the mundane to the miraculous. When we were outside of the family of God, walking in the ways of the world, doing unrighteousness, the things of the flesh, it was just average, ho-hum, nothing spectacular. But we see now that we have the Spirit of God who has sealed us to the day of redemption, that there opens up this window of opportunity that really is exciting. Freedom from the mundane to the miraculous, I reference John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Why? Because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And so I read that phrase, and every time he says, even greater works than what you've seen me do, you will do. And I just say, how can this be? How is that even possible? I'm afraid to even say that out loud. And so I'll just move quickly to the freedom from feuding with God to fellowship to get into how is it possible for us to do the same works that Jesus did by continuing in that same chapter, verses 16 to 17. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Jesus was obviously a great helper. It would have been wonderful to walk and talk with him, to eat and fellowship. But he says, I'm going to give you another helper, the Paraclete, the Spirit of God. He says, to be with you forever. Jesus, in his 100% humanity, on occasion took some rest, on occasion took a walk where everybody couldn't be with him, on occasion walked across the lake and not everybody could follow. But the Spirit is going to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, Jesus said. For he dwells with you and will be in you. So we mentioned this last week. Chuck asked about it. How is our fellowship with the Holy Spirit different than the Old Testament saints? Anybody recall what we talked about in that? Mike, we'll give you the microphone. Chuck says he remembers since he asked the question.
I think I do. The Spirit came for like one-off purposes and left again. It was not a continual indwelling and presence.
Yeah, indwelling.
In the Old Testament.
In the Old Testament, yeah, indwelling being the key there. Do understand this, that all people who have been brought into the covenant of grace and regenerated have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. So even Old Testament saints were regenerated and brought to new life by the Holy Spirit. But yes, there is this coming and going of the Spirit that we see in the Old Testament, where the Spirit was with them for a time or a season. And it happened with kings, with rulers, with judges, with prophets, just several special occasions where the Spirit of God came upon them in power for specific purposes. But since the new covenant had not been inaugurated, they could not experience the indwelling of that Spirit in a permanent sealing sense like we do. But Jesus is saying, look, this is great news for you. that I'm going to go and I'm going to send the helper, the paraclete, and he is not only going to be with you, he is going to be in you. And this is the Spirit of God himself. This is the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So we're talking about death to life, and we're talking about now you are walking, living, breathing with God literally in you. If you watched the TV last night or this morning, it was a great picture of what is the difference between with or in. And I would say that if your Secret Service detail is with you on the premises, so I'm up here speaking, and let's just pretend that I have a Secret Service detail. Hold on, let me just take this in for a second. It's kind of fun. I have a Secret Service detail. All right, they're not the center of attention. They're with me. They're behind these doors over here. Okay, but if Big Mike starts threatening me, then all of a sudden they're upon me and they're physically touching me and they're surrounding me and there's no way Big Mike can get to me. There's this shield around me and that is a big difference between them. Like, I know they're with me on the premises in the building versus they're tackling me, they're surrounding me, they're almost part of me. And so the Spirit is in us as we walk this earth. And that's how it can be that Jesus said, the works I do, you'll do. And even greater than these. Because God himself is going to be in you. To walk, to do, to speak, to pray, to love, just as Jesus did. So, let me take a drink of Tim's water and give you an opportunity to ask a question, clarify, or say something clearer than I said it. Okay, those opportunities don't come often, so be prepared for the next one. Now, fellowship from feuding with God. You know, we were God's enemies, and now we're fellowshipping with him intimately because the Spirit lives within us. And fellowship leads to freedom from pining to peace. Pining is an old word if you got your 1828 dictionary app. But pining is being fearful, being anxious, being uneasy. And now, because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we are free to live in peace. And you can tell when I forget this ministry of the Holy Spirit, can't you? Because I'm fidgety. I'm not listening to you. I'm looking through you, not at you. I'm preoccupied. I'm concerned about anything and everything. And so Philippians 4, 5 to 7 is a couple of verses that help. And people always quote 6 and 7, but I always catch the sentence actually starts in the last half of verse 5. And so I always start with the full sentence because it says, the Lord is at hand. That's kind of a foundational presupposition of why this is going to be so impactful. And now that we've already gone through the points we've gone through in terms of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when you hear Paul say, the Lord is at hand, not only do you say, yeah, he's with me, but he's in me. I mean, the Lord is at hand wherever you are. Like we know that God is omnipresent, but now you, believer, child of God, know that he is in you. You can't get away from him. He has sealed you. And that is a big deal because now, because of that, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious. Your Secret Service detail is with you, touching you every step of the way. And so this gives life to the thing that no harm shall come to me. Nothing is going to happen to me that God hasn't foreordained. My days have been numbered before there is very been even one. And so, of course, I'm going to walk in courage and boldness to go wherever it is that God calls me to go. I don't care what the storms are like. I don't care what the military attacks are like. I don't care what the oppressive government is like because the Lord is at hand. So whatever he's calling me to, I'm not anxious about it because he's sovereign over all those things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard both your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And that surpasses understanding is a key, because I'm always wanting to know why. Why is it? What is that? Explain this. Help me understand. But there are some things in life that you just don't understand. You can't and you won't. And you don't have to. You don't have to understand everything that's going on, everything that God is calling you into, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is He's going to give you a peace that says, look, don't worry about it. I've got this. You don't have to be God. I am God. You don't have to manipulate and control all the circumstances, because I, as God, am doing that. And so you just be at peace and be obedient and walk by the Spirit going to where I'm calling you to go. John 14, Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now listen, we are tempted every single day to be troubled and afraid. If you're a lady this morning, you may be troubled right now thinking, we're having this potluck for the first time since I can remember, and I have brought this dish that needs to be refrigerated, and it's not in the refrigerator, and what if we don't get to eat it until later, and it warms up, and somebody gets sick because of it, and they trace it back to me, and everybody's going to say, well, that lady brought this thing that made me sick, and I'm troubled about that, just thinking about these things. Oh, goodness. I know that. Trust me, I'm going to eat it, and I'm not going to get sick, and it's going to be no trouble. Or you may be like me, and you've had thyroid cancer, and you go a couple months ago to this hospital right up here, and they say, we're going to take an ultrasound, just check it out, see how it's doing. And the one lady does the ultrasound. She does a bunch of stuff. She goes, okay, now Susie's going to take a look also. And I'm like, oh, there's something to look at. You know, they found something, and Susie needs to back up and say, yep, you're right. He's going to die tomorrow. I better take a look at it. And so Susie looks at it, and I'm like, yep, she ain't saying nothing. And, you know, they're all tight-lipped. You know, sometimes you can get them to say, oh, I didn't really see. I'm not allowed to say, but I didn't really see anything. And both of them are like, well, we'll see you later. Doctor will call you. And I'm like, yep. He's calling me, all right, tell me I'm going to see Jesus. And, you know, the imagination is just like, what are you talking about? Why would I put myself through this? Because the truth is, again, hey, look, I'm not going to see Jesus until the day I was always going to see Jesus. And that ain't changing because Susie and Sally saw something on my thyroid. And by the way, this, you know, the thyroid is the master gland, and they took half of it. And so I say my excuse is I wake up every day, half crazy, okay? So it's not my fault. I'm working with half a deck of cards here. So, you know, whatever it is in your life, we have the opportunity to be peaceful about it. And look back. My question is, what do you have to do first in order to remember something? You know what I'm looking for there? What do you have to do first in order to remember something? Yeah. You got to learn it first. You got to know it first. So there's a little hidden clue right there. I don't know if you tried this in high school. I did. There's a term called osmosis, where I would lay my head on my book and just see if it would all go in there. And that doesn't work. You have to study. You have to read. You have to listen. You have to search. You have to dig. Okay. If you don't, you can't remember something you never remembered. That's not English, I don't think. But you're laughing, so you know what I mean. So we've got to look into that. And maybe I've got a point on that next. Look at there. Peace leads to freedom from confusion to comprehension. Comprehension, 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 14. For the Spirit, again, we're talking about the ministry of the Spirit who's inside of you. The Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person, you know, they don't accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. So part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is he's helping you to learn and understand these truths that from one point prior are going to help bring peace in your life. But listen, if you're not studying God's word, then your bag of resources to draw on when you're getting your thyroid cancer ultrasounded is minimal, then you're going to be, I got nothing here. But if you're filling your mind with the truth of God's word, then you have this basket overflowing with his promises that when your flesh or the world or the enemy comes to you and suggests this, that, or the other, you combat that error, that falsehood, with the truth that the Spirit of God has taught you through his word. And so I ask, you know, what is true? You remember any verses that speak to that? What is true? Yes, he did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Pilate asked Jesus what is truth. And then Jesus said, in the high priestly prayer, John 17:17, sanctify them in your truth, and then he defines it for us, thy word is truth. Okay? So, it couldn't be any clearer. We've got the word of God right here. We've got it right here. We've got it right there. We've got it all around us in abundance, opportunity, resource, and it is the truth, and we have it, and the Spirit of God can help us to understand it and apply it in our life, and that mitigates every time we want to be troubled or disgruntled or worried or anxious. The Lord is near, he's in us, and he reminds us of what we've studied from his word. John 8:31-32, if you abide in my word. That's a great, great phrase, abide. It's not a touch and go. You know, when I go out to an airfield and I'm practicing my landing, I was coming in for landing and touchdown. That was pretty firm. Let's take off and come around and try it again, see if I can get it smoother. So Chuck gives me a compliment one day finally and says, that was a smooth landing, pilot. Thank you very much. So it's not a touch and go. It's a, no, we're landing the bird here and we're staying here. We're going to stay with, we're going to abide in my word, Jesus says. Then you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free from fear. When the fear comes, and it will come, you know, I'm not lovely, I'm not lovable, they don't like me, it's not going to work out well, I'm not going to get the job, the test result's going to be bad, nobody's going to say thank you that I brought banana pudding to the church potluck today. I will definitely tell you thank you and find you if you brought banana pudding. And if you did not today, there will be a next time. Just keep that in your mind. So the truth will set us free, but we've got to be studying it. But we have the Spirit to help us understand. And it's like when you have a cold, you lose some of your senses. You can't smell, can't taste very well. But you still have to eat. And so if you find yourself in God's word, like, I can't figure it out, it doesn't make sense, I don't want to, just fake it till you make it. Just keep eating it. Keep reading it. Keep taking it in. You'll eventually get some nutrition out of it. Okay. Now, I've got three in a row here. And, okay, we're good. I really want to run through these first two and answer them with the last one, with the third. So I'm going to try to do that. Freedom from heinousness to holiness, 1 Peter 1:13-16. We talked about holiness a little bit last week in the confession class. And if you missed that, you're missing something good. You should try to come last Wednesday of the month. 1 Peter 1:13-16, therefore, watch the focus here. Preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. Set your hope, which is running around somewhere up here, fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You're going to see and you're going to process that up in here. Okay, so all that having to do with the mind. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Ignorance existing in this realm up here. And now finally, we're changing gears. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it's written, you shall be holy for I am holy. So we're doing a lot of work up here in order to get to some right actions out here with our hands and feet, okay? The majority of the training of the gym work is happening up here, okay? That's why I encourage people, just the more you can saturate your mind, and that reminds me, I need to talk to Hobie because he's always talking about country music, and this is, when I talk to him, this is what I'm going to tell him. I'm going to say, hey, listen, if you could switch to from listening to country music, which occasionally we'll say, yeah, there, God is out there and he's good and we love him. Maybe you can make a transition to some Christian music where you hear some lyrics that say, God is love. And then you could even transition to spending your time listening to the radio on the way to work to listening to a preacher who explains that that word love is agape in the Greek. And this is the type of selfless, self-giving, life-giving, outgoing, sacrificial love that God is loving you with. And all this time, you are getting more and more of the Word of God into your mind. You're renewing your mind. You're transforming your mind. You're disciplining your mind. You're filling your mind with the truth of God's Word so that when the challenges of life come, the Spirit of God says, remember what you just heard? Remember what you just read? The truth? Yeah. Let's push that error, that falsehood, that lie behind us, and let's keep pressing on in strength, and let's do the right thing. How do I know the right thing? Because I read about the right thing in here. I know how to act right. I know how to be set apart. I know how to be holy because I've read what God is like. I've watched him. I've listened to him. Oh, I'm to follow his example. Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. But again, you know, I'm still sketchy on how can we be holy. And I say, well, holiness leads to freedom from submitting to standing. Paul says in Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So Christ has taken that yoke that was on the oxen that were pulling the big heavy plow. He's taken that yoke and he's taken it off of you, okay? And he's laid it aside. And now he said, oh, man. Weight is off my shoulders and I pop my microphone off and this is great and it's so much lighter. I can stand up now. You know, I was slumped over because I had that yoke on me and it was weighing me down and I don't go to the CrossFit gym like Jeremy and Wes do and so I'm having a hard time. But Christ takes this yoke off and now I can stand up and I've got a good footing. I'm not off balance because Christ has set me free. He says, Don't go back over and put that yoke back on. Why would you do that? You're just hurting yourself. You're believing a lie. You think, oh, this will fulfill me. This will be good. This is really what I want. Let me go do that. No, that is nonsense. That is deception. Stick to the truth. Act right. Be holy. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Don't go back to slavery after all that he has done for you. But again, I'm like, I still have trouble acting right every day. How can I act right? How can I stand firm? How can I be holy? And Paul says, now here we are to my third point, freedom from walking in the lowercase s spirit. That is, walking in my agenda, walking in what I want to do, walking in what I think, feel, or desire, to walking by the capital S spirit who lives within us. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, period. Well, there it is, pretty simple. You're dismissed, go home, just do that, right? But everybody's like, oh man, that's, first of all, what do you mean? Second of all, I don't understand. Third of all, that's kind of spooky. I mean, after all, who here is comfortable in the fourth dimension? I'm comfortable backing out of my driveway, turning left, going forward, turning right, driving to Atlanta, getting in my airplane, taking off and going up, coming down to land and going down. So those are three dimensions I'm comfortable working in as a human. But now you want to talk about the Spirit, who's like the wind. I can't tell where it came from, where he's going, and I can't see it. And so this fourth dimension, I don't grasp it as well. I don't really know what you mean, Paul, when you say walk by the Spirit. Like, I just don't know. So let's think more. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Right, okay. Now we're back to that theme of be holy as I am holy. Stand firm, don't go putting back the yoke of slavery. And then Galatians 5:18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Meaning, you're saved, you're regenerated, you're born again, you're a Christian, you're part of the new covenant of grace. So that's you, that's me. We are led by the Spirit. The Spirit is leading you. So the question is not, do we have this permanent indwelling Spirit of God where we can do greater works than Jesus even did living within us? The question is not, do we understand what he's written, what he's told us to do and not to do? The question is not, is that Spirit bringing remembrance of all those things? The question is not, is the Spirit leading us, hey, talk to this person, talk to that person, don't go here, do go there. All that is happening. The question is, am I willing to follow? And only you can answer that question. And I can't make you. And it doesn't matter what we say in Sunday school this week or next week. It is ultimately going to be up to you if you are going to say yes and be willing to say, I will follow your leading. I will obey your truth. I do love you more than I love myself. And so then our prayer becomes, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to follow you, but help me to want to more. Must become less, you must become more. And how does that happen? Well, the more time you spend with him, the more time I spent with Heather, the more I realized I want to spend the rest of my life with this girl. And I didn't want to spend time with any other girl. And that's what it takes. You and I being committed to spend more time with him than with fishing or with work or with even family, with anything. More time with Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because he ends the chapter in Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, which we have, that's where we started. This mission of the Holy Spirit, he's brought us to life. We're spiritually alive to be a light in a dark world. So if that's true, then let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Don't get distracted. Don't go off the road. Don't put the yoke back on. Let's pick this thing back up. I don't remember. It wasn't that bad, was it? Yes, it is. It's bad. It's worse than you remember. Let's keep step with the Spirit. Let's be willing to be led by the Spirit. Let's take advantage of the ministry of the Spirit that he has given each of us so that we can live, so that we can understand the truth, so that we can obey the truth, so that we can be free from the fears that constantly bombard us, so that we can be used by God, going out and just knowing that nothing is impossible with God. He may call you to do some crazy things and go some crazy places, but it's easy. Not for you and me, but for the Spirit who is ministering in us, to each other, around us, and to a lost world. What do you think about that? Yes, ma'am.
What hit me was the concept of spending more time with the Spirit. And I think that in a world of, especially depending on where we are in stages of life, small children, whatever, that we think it's, we got to take away time from that and just get more monk and nun-like, you know, just away from the world. And the infusion of the Spirit in our lives comes from time that's set apart physically, go to your prayer closet or whatever, but really the time can't be either or. I didn't get to my quiet time this morning, so I'm a failure, the day's going to go bad, or I've got to make up for it tomorrow, 2 hours instead of whatever. But would you talk to the whole concept of time with the Spirit, because we want to spend more time in the Spirit, Him and us.
Yes. So you've heard people say, "Be present in the moment." You know, when I'm talking to you, if you could please be listening to the words I'm saying and not thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch. And you've heard the scripture say, "Pray without ceasing." And you say, "How can I do that? I've got to talk to Sarah. How can I talk to God without ceasing? I've got to stop talking to God so I can talk to Sarah." And I've heard the analogy about the computer and the operating system, that the operating system is always ongoing, okay? Operating system is foundational no matter how many programs or applications you have opening and going on simultaneously. So I'm talking to you, but right now I have the ability in my spirit to pray, "God, let my voice last 3 more minutes and help me to remember that analogy that they can relate to so that they can really grasp hold of this truth and walk out of here and make a difference." And so, yes, that's, I'm looking to live my life constantly in awareness of my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price, and my charge is to glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are His. And so, God, here I am. I'm at Sunday school. I've got 100 things to say, but we only got 45 minutes. So what do you want me to say? What comes next? Do I say this one, or do I skip that one? Are they with me, or do I need to switch gears? And so we're constantly in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, spending time with Him in that awareness that He is here. He is in me. What, left foot, right foot? You let me know. I'll go. Where you lead me, I will follow. I know you're leading. I know you're leading. Let me turn the music down so that I can hear you. That's a good thought. Anybody else? Mimi?
When you were sharing about being filled with the Holy Spirit, being that we have the Holy Spirit in us, it also came to my mind that we also have our own will.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks to the struggle that we're,
yeah,
we do have the Holy Spirit, but we also have our own will.
Yeah.
And the like you said just now, having the operating system that, and but listening, paying attention. It's not just going off and running this one, focusing on this one program, but you know, it's a challenge.
It's a challenge.
Because we're to crucify ourselves and walk with Him.
It's active. So you think about feeding. Like, I have got no problem feeding my body, especially with like cinnamon rolls. I love to do it. I don't hesitate. I will do it right now if you bring me one. So I'm inclined to do that, and I will do that, and I have to be, but I have to be disciplined in that, right? And I have to make choices in that. And so, in our spiritual disciplines, our training, our commitment, our decisions, again, it goes back to a decision. Are you going to prioritize listening to the Word of God, or are you going to prioritize the funny dog videos on YouTube? You only got 30 minutes. Which one are you going to watch? You're going to watch Michael Reeves preach a great sermon on the Trinity, or are you going to watch the funny dogs? And the dogs are super funny. I love them. And I will justify it to you by saying, the scripture says laughter is a good medicine. So there. it's a battle. It's a decision. And I'm just telling you, if you find yourself fearful or struggling or depressed or anxious, you're out of balance and you're making bad decisions. And you need to start making some decisions to do less of all this that your flesh wants to do and comes so naturally. And you need to start saying yes to these hard things. That's what the scripture said. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but it only leads to death. So if you got a choice between, I could do this or do that. And one seems easy and like, oh yeah, this would be great. And the other one seems like, oh, that's hard. And I'm probably going to sweat and be sore after that. That's what you should do. That's a good point. All right, we got time for one more. As long as I don't preach a sermon about whatever you say. Okay. Last quote there, Michael Reeves. The Father declared from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." But now that same spirit of sonship rests on me and you. The same words apply to me and you. In Christ, our high priest, we are adopted, beloved, spirit-anointed sons and daughters. Father, as we think about part of the Spirit's ministry to us, how you have regenerated us, brought us to life, you have freed us from confusion to comprehension, from pining to peace, and from heinousness to holiness. And you've just called us to live out the truth in this life for our good, yes, but ultimately for your glory. So like Moses prayed for the people in the Old Testament, we pray for us that for your namesake, would you cause us to walk by the Spirit in the ministry of the Spirit to show each and every person around us, how great you are. In Jesus' name, amen.